Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
How cool is that when we get to come together? You ready for the Word of the Lord tonight? I believe that God's got something. This is called Overcoming Personal Insecurities. There isn't one of us in here that don't have insecurities of some kind. The very fact that you might say, I don't have any insecurities, means you really got insecurities. I don't know how we got insecure, but we did. I think something has happened in our DNA at the fall when we found out that we really weren't as connected to God as we should be. And in that garden experience, somewhere along the line came a thing called insecurities. One of the things that we don't see in ourselves is really either you see yourself as a very insecure person or you see yourself as a very secure person. Let me just give you some information. If you've ever compromised anything to get something, you're insecure. If you ever lied on your taxes, you're insecure. You ever fudged on your job or lied to a police officer, you're insecure. If you've ever tried to, at any time in your life, control the world that you live in, so everybody has agreement with you and does what you want them to do, you're insecure. And we have a whole life of insecure people that are in this room, including Pastor Jim and Pastor Deborah. And being an insecure person, the very root of the word insecure comes out, and it's a funny little word called fear. Something on the inside of us, we're afraid of stuff, afraid to deal with life, afraid to make decisions, afraid to make decisions or not make decisions, afraid. If you've ever lost a temper, it's an insecurity that comes out. We've all done that. And we're afraid of life. We're afraid of what's ahead of us. We're fear of a lot of things in life. And I'd have to tell you that I've, over all these years, I've only found one thing that can help me out of insecurity and keep me out of making decisions and living life by fear. And that's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ in such a level that every day I cast my care on Him in every situation, I'm able to look to Him as the source and the sustaining power and the support that I need. If I look to myself or look to you or look to numbers or look to my checkbook or look to my savings or look to my wife or look to anybody else to bring me the security that I need in order to not fear in life, I find myself empty-handed. And I find that life doesn't work. And for a lot of us that are in this room, insecurities kept us from jobs, kept us from advancing, kept us from love relationships that are true, kept us from relationships with people that could have been good, kept us from great jobs, kept us from doing what we needed to do, being what we needed to be, just because of a simple thing called insecurity. One of the things that I think is most important is all of us is not just identify insecurity and fears, but we come to a place where we realize that's part of our makeup. And God gives us the answer to it. So we don't have to live compromised lives or have to live lives that are super aggressive so that we have to make everybody feel like they're secure and you're secure because you push everybody around. But we find ourselves in a place of understanding that there's just one source of security, and that's Jesus Christ. And that the people that did great things because in their weakness, in their insecurities, in their frailness, they find themselves relying totally and committed to the things of God. I mean, how simple is what I just said? How simple is it that takes somebody and makes them a 7-foot man? Because they're finally realizing that what makes them what they need is God. It's not our education. We get education to try to oftentimes overcome the insecurities of life and the insecurities and fears of the future. We try to gather money and have lots of resources so we can have someday retirement because we're afraid of the days when we won't be able to produce. There's always fear that's motivating people. There's always insecurity. We don't do what we should do, and we do what we shouldn't do because of fear and insecurity. And you know what? It plagues every one of us, and there's just one answer for it. And it's the simplest answer in the world. Sometimes the simple things are the hardest to get. The simple thing here is just connecting with God on everything and every way and every bit of your life. I don't know how to be a good husband. But I know this, I know how to connect with God, and He'll help me to be. If I can just get out of myself and get into Him, He'll show me that I don't have to be insecure and push my wife around and keep a thumb on her. I remember when I was a young man, my father had this macho attitude, and the macho attitude was, in those days, it's a disgusting statement today, you keep your wives pregnant and you keep a foot on them at all times so they don't go out on their own. What is that? Nothing but insecurity. You know, culture start to come up. Let's put the culture down. Why? They're not the same culture we are. So that, what is that? Insecurity. The whole world is filled with it, guys. And you and I will continue as Christians to operate in it until we understand something about ourselves. Here's number one. We are insecure, and it's okay as long as you do the right thing about it. If you let it control you and keep on ruling you, you will fail every time. But if you do the right thing about it, that insecurity now becomes incredibly powerful on your behalf. I'm going to show you something tonight. In Hebrews, this is the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and in verse number 33, and in fact, the 11th chapter, when we get in there a couple of 3 years from now, maybe four, we're going to find ourselves in a place of, as you know, this is a who's who in the faith world. These were real faith generals, talking about all the great men and women of God who believed God. But there was something that was said that was so fascinating to me. Because I always thought people who win are people who are tough. And you do. You need to be tough. But what you're tough in will indicate what you're insecure about. Let me say it again. What you're tough in indicates what you're insecure about. So sometimes we're tough in certain areas, but that's the very areas that we're insecure about. And I found out something in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse number 33. It says, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Talking about these people of faith, okay? Now watch this. Who faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. And here's the verse that tore me up. Out of weakness were made strong. Didn't say they were strong. Said they were weak. And out of their weakness, they were made strong. Out of their insecurities, out of their frailties, out of their fears, out of the way life is, man, they're now made strong and became violent in battle. Listen to this. Turning to flight, the enemies of the aliens. Why? Were they strong? No, they were weak that became strong. I'm insecure, but I don't have to stay insecure. I just need to now apply something. A principle of the Word of God. Where I was weak before, so I don't overcome it with some kind of physical strength, some kind of intellectual ability, some kind of economic condition. I overcome my weakness with something that makes me strong. And he talks about this because we're all there. But I thought it was interesting because all through this 11th chapter, you find such tremendous heroes of faith, Abraham, and you find these tremendous people of faith, David and so on, did great things, and Sarah and all of them that just were just such heroes that who in the world could ever live up to them? But here it says, in their weakness. So in other words, something happened to them in their insecurities and weakness that made them strong. Now, here's a question. What if something could happen in you and I, in our weaknesses and insecurities, could make us strong so that we, like them, could win the battles of life that we face every day? What is it if something comes into our life, instead of compromising it, instead of being weak about it, that in our weakness we can become strong enough to be just like these people, victorious in the battles. What could it possibly be? Let's take a look at it a little bit further in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. Let's go there. In 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, let me give you some insight. See if you can pick this up. It's kind of my favorite chapter in Corinthians. The text of Corinthians is really the first chapter. And in verse number 27, it says, "But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise." And God has chosen, notice these, God's choosing. The weak things of this world to put to shame the things which are mighty. In other words, God is looking for something that is weak, not something that's strong. God's not looking for somebody that's a hero. God's looking for somebody who needs a hero. And according to what God says, he has chosen the foolish things. And the world looks at, you know, faith. The world looks at your relationship with God. The world looks at you because you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior as foolish. And getting more and more so. You are more and more looked at as fools all the time. And he says, the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. In other words, there's going to be a day of reckoning coming. And when the world calls you foolish and sees you as stupid and sees you as weak and sees you as frail and sees you as an unwise person, you will actually put the wise ones who think they're so smart in the world, you'll put them to shame. And then it says, and God has chosen the weak things, not the strong things. I thought that was fascinating. God hasn't shown, you know, the muscular things. God doesn't show the physically in tune guy, or the wealthy, or the intellectual to the place where they're far superior than anybody else, or the highly educated, or the highly social type person. God is actually choosing something most peculiar. Instead of peculiarly not choosing a wise, smart, tough person, he now says he's the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. The world says we're so strong, got it together, and here comes someone who's not very strong, not very smart. Here's somebody who's insecure. Here's somebody who's frail. Here's somebody who's in fear at times in their life. And instead of letting the fear and the frailty and the insecurity and the weakness run their life, find ourselves going somewhere to the one who chose the weak to show ourselves strong. Where I fall short in every area of my life, including pastoring, God comes along and takes my weaknesses, my frailties. And all of a sudden, He does something with it. When we were going to build this church, we weren't mighty. We didn't have any money. We weren't even a large congregation, a few thousand people at that time. And my goodness, that counted every kid, dog, cat that walked by down the street. They got counted. You know, and here today, after all this time, God's taken the weak things that shouldn't be, and has made them strong. The foolish things that people laugh at and made them healthy. Why? Because somewhere along the line in our insecurity, in our frailties, and in our weakness, we found out the key to being strong and how we could put our enemies to flight. And I stand before you as a perfect example. I'm anything but a standard, normal preacher. Has Debbie returned? You know, and here I am, you know, pastoring one of the great churches in America, and the place is healthy. I mean, we don't have any money, but we're healthy, you know what I mean? We're still here fighting a good fight of faith, winning souls, but we're healthy. We're not strong in finances, and we're not strong in other areas, but man, we're strong in God, and lives are being changed. What's that all about? Because somebody connected with the one who chose the weak instead of the one trying to be strong and trying to show they could do it themselves. I said it before. Real humility is dependency. That's real humility. And God says he exalts the humble. And real humility is the one who becomes the most, who's probably the weakest and most insecure and fearful, but who becomes so dependent on God that, man, it just changes the world. And what to do? It looses the very power of God in our situation, our home, finance, dreams, vision, marriage. Here's this guy that stands before you, been divorced 3 times before I'm 25 years old. Now I'm teaching this coming May to all the pastors who are coming from all over the world about marriage. What is that all about? Here's this guy, listen to me, has a 5th grade reading level. Oh, I know some of you are just real smart in who you are. You can really read fast. I'm a, Dick said, it is a big house. Maybe a big family will live in it. No, said Jane. I hope it's a family with girls. And Spot barked. And that's just where I'm at, you know. But in my, here's how it works. In my reading slow, I had to digest the word. So God took the foolish things that the world saw as bad and nothing and a zero and make something out of it. And that's what I'm talking about. God doesn't take the most gifted psalmist and songwriter and gifted piano player. Every now and then, Pastor David hits a note, and I'm on the front row. I go, but I just love the guy. And you can't help but love his heart. And now his album is coming. And even though it's got my name all over it, it's really his album. You know what I mean? And it's because God takes the weak things. Not the ones that are trying to be cool or smart. Not the ones that are trying to be intellectual or powerful. Not the ones that come along. And sure, we need to have a certain confidence. But my confidence has always been taught to you in Christ Jesus, not in ourselves. Is that okay? So we're learning something. I love what the word of the Lord has to say. Go with me to Psalms in the 8th chapter. Will you go there with me? In Psalms, the 8th chapter, we're talking about in our weakness. Sometimes we get so mad at ourselves because we're so frail. We're so fearful. We're so insecure. And at those times when you know when you're frail, you know when you're insecure, you know when you're about to compromise because you're afraid of the outcome of something. That's the time when you need to realize there's one on your side who takes your very weakness and make you strong if you'll just trust him in that area. The 8th chapter of Psalms, and if you'll look with me in verse number 2, it's really kind of a cool verse, and it says these words, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants. Man, you talk about weakness. Now, I don't know about you, babes and nursing infants can't even change their own pants. I mean, Dan has a little baby. His name is Titus, and my Kimberly has a little boy named Cade, and I got 2 grandchildren, and Luke and Stacy are having another boy. I'm going to have 10 grandsons, but even though they're sons and even though they're men, they poop their pants. It's like, and then they go to Grandpa and say, Grandpa, I'm fixing it. Can you change it? Oh, ain't no way. But out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you, speaking of God, notice the capital Y on the word you. You, speaking of God, have ordained, and the word ordained is an interesting word. It means established strength. Now I want you to know, I see no strength in my grandchildren. None whatsoever. They have no restraining power. They have no strength at all. Anything that comes along, they make a lot of noise. But here God says, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained, you have established strength. Why? Because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy of the avenger. Can I tell you something right now? Wait a minute. How does a baby who has no strength, out of his mouth, silence the enemy and the avenger? How does that work? It doesn't work. What he is saying, out of the mouth of people that are helpless, and that's you and me, that are weak at times, that's you and me, that are insecure at times, that's you and me, that are fearful at times because we don't know what's around the corner and how it's going to work. Out of the very mouth of that kind of a person, God has ordained, He has established strength. Why? Because He wants you to defeat the enemy. And it comes in a miraculous way. It comes from God. My weakness at the end of the year, you know, Deborah has been saying to me something about our government's going to change the tax structure. Been going to take taxes, going to put taxes on church, take nonprofit away from churches and all that kind of stuff. There's all kinds of rumors going on. They've been saying that since I've been in ministry for the last 30 some odd years. And, you know, it hadn't happened yet. And if it does happen, who really gives a flip? You know, the bottom line, if they change the tax structure and we become, you know, like some other socialist or organization that we pay all 50% of everything we earn and you know, we don't have anything, and seemingly, guess what? My God shall supply all needs, according to riches and glory. So who really cares? But we can sit around and listen to this stuff. We can listen to CNN and we can listen to Fox News and they'll dump garbage on you to the place where you are depressed. And I don't care what side of the coin you're on, they will. And see, what we don't realize is in our weakness, He's made strong. And that's what we've got to hook into. In our insecurities and our frailties and our weakness and our fears, we've got to go to the one who takes the baby and the suckling who is not able to take care of themselves, put in their mouth what needs to be put in order to run the enemies off. That's amazing testimony. Paul literally lived on this truth. A lot of times we don't see it, but I want to share it with you out of 2 Corinthians. Go there with me. He lived on this truth. In other words, he had all kinds of things coming at him. I'm sure, you know, he could have really boasted about who he was and talked about a lot of things. He had a lot of pressures. They threw him in jail a lot. He was beaten a lot. Things weren't really good a lot of times in his life. He was miserable at times, and he finds himself oftentimes just, you know, being tied up in prison. How'd you like to be in prison with a mandate from God on you to teach the word to the world? You didn't hear what I just said. How'd you like to be in prison and God has given you a commandment, God Himself, verbally to you, and said, I want you to preach this to the world. And then he has you thrown in prison. It'd be like, wait a minute, I must have ate a pizza last night and that was a voice from my stomach or something. I don't remember any of this. Something's crazy about this. Or how about this prayer? Wouldn't one of us in here wouldn't go to God and say, wait a minute, you want me to preach this to the world, but you throw me in prison? What kind of a God are you that tells me to do something you know I can't do it? Who am I going to reach in prison? He had no idea that what he was doing, that more people would read his writings every single day than all the literature combined upon the planet. No idea. Because God takes the weaknesses of man in a weakened position in prison and makes him one of the greatest apostles that the world's ever known. Why? Because it wasn't his ability that gets the job done anymore. Then it's your ability that gets the job done. It's not your ability. It's His ability. And sometimes we don't ever get to His ability. We stay in our pity parties of our ability. Well, I really can't be a successful businessman. I'm too dumb. I don't have any money. I don't have an education. I can never really do anything in my life because, you know, I come from the wrong side of the tracks. My parents never had anything. I'm the wrong color. I'm the wrong education. I've got a funny accent. People don't like it. And they never get to do anything because of the frailties and insecurities. And listen, if you could just take the insecurities, weaknesses, and frailties and turn them around, you could implement the power of God on your behalf, because God has chosen you weak, not strong, to make you strong. And given you a voice to run off the enemies when you can't even talk and you're an infant. Is anybody listening? Now, Paul, if there's anything Paul knew, he knew that. He knew that it was not David in his power. It was going to be in his. And we don't have to panic about the album. We don't have to panic about this church. We don't have to panic about anything. Because guess what? That's all insecurity from man's standpoint. Security comes when you cast your cares on He that careth and let Him implement the power of God that you need to have. Is anybody listening? Husbands and wives fight because of insecurities. You disrespect me. I can do this if I want to do it. Who do I need? I don't need you to tell me how to. It's insecurity. Woman, she's insecure. Her response back to the man oftentimes. All of it is insecurity. When in fact, in the midst of your insecurity, if you go to God, you won't be insecure and the power of God will come upon you to get the job done. That's what you need to look for the future. Now watch the words. Paul writes these words, verse 6 of the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Verse number 6 of the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians says this, "For though I might desire to boast..." In other words, stop right there. I have at times feelings that I want to brag about myself. Why would you want to brag about yourself other than the fact that you are insecure and you want people to know how cool you are so you can feel good about yourself? So Paul writes these words, "Though I might have a desire to boast, I will not be a..." He understood this principle. "I'll not be a fool. For I will speak the truth, but I refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me." Verse number 7. "And lest that I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation." In other words, that people come along and think he's so great because he's got the revelation of who God is and what God's saying in that hour for the church. He says this, "And lest that I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given unto me." And then he describes what the thorn in the flesh is. "A messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest that I be exalted above measure." In other words, here comes this problem constantly in his life. A problem that keeps coming. The word buffeting means it's like the waves of a shore just keep pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding. And he's under this pressure, like you've been and I've been. He wants to feel good about himself, but he doesn't want to be a fool. And he doesn't want people to think more of him because he's got this revelation. So therefore, there's been a messenger of Satan that just pounds him all the time. And verse number 8 comes along, pop it up, let's check it out. It says, "Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might be departed from me." And what thing? The messenger of Satan. He says, now here's Paul the apostle, and he says, "I have talked to God about my problem 3 times and asked God to remove it." Now, about you, but I always want to think that if Paul the apostle talked to God, that he would get great answers and a quick response, and certainly wouldn't be like us. Have you ever prayed and not got anything from God about a place that you're in that's weak and maybe frail, or maybe at times insecure, and you're just frustrated about it, and it seems like your prayers don't go any further than the ceilings? And here he comes along and he says, "This thing that has gone me, this buffeting of the devil that's upon me on a constant basis, I've talked to God 3 times about it." And then he comes along in verse number 9 and he says these words out of verse number 9. "And he said to me," here's God said something, "My grace sovereign divine ability to get the job done on your behalf, Paul. Remember the word sovereign? Nobody telling him what to do, when to do it, how to do it. My sovereign divine God's ability to get the job done on your behalf when you can't do it, Paul. Grace. My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in, let me translate that, your weakness. You don't go to God and say, God, I'm miserable. I'm so weak. I need your strength. No, you go with confidence, knowing, God, I know I can't get it done, but I know you can. And there's a big difference. There's a big difference between someone who's belly aching before God, expressing how weak you are, instead of saying, God, I can't get it done, but I know you can. The difference is, I can't get it done, but I know you can, or I'm just weak and help me because I'm weak. You're not to pray, help me because I'm weak. I need your strength. What you're to pray is, God, here I am. I'm weak, and it's only you that gets the job done. And he says this, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made what? Perfect in weakness. So when I'm weak, God's strength comes in there. As long as I've got my faith on God is the solution to my weakness. God is the one that's going to make it work. God will open the doors and close the doors. And as long as I'm in faith about His ability, not my ability, all of a sudden my weakness now turns God on. My weakness that turns me off turns God on. Go to the last part of that verse, if you will. And he says, therefore, do you notice the word therefore is always there for what we just got through saying? Most gladly, I rather boast in my infirmities or weakness. Now, someone comes along and talks about Paul being sick in these verses. They're absolutely spiritually incorrect. This is not talking about being sick. Someone comes along and says, see, Paul proves he's sick. He's not sick. He's talking about weaknesses, insecurities, and frailties. Remember, being buffeted by the devil, and he's pleaded three times. Has nothing to do whether or not he has a cold or not. Where do we get this kind of teaching in the churches? Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities. The word infirmities, in some of your translations, most of them is the word weakness. That the power of God may rest upon me. And then I love in verse number 10. It says, therefore, here's another therefore. I take pleasure in my weaknesses, reproaches, needs, persecution, distress. How many of you have ever been in distress? For Christ's sake. For when I'm weak. For when I'm weak. For when I'm weak, now you're getting it. For when I'm weak, for when I'm weak, the next word is what? No, the next word is what? For when I'm weak, the next word is what? Then. I'm strong. God, I don't know how to pastor this church. This is a great church getting greater, but you do. Now, all of a sudden, in my weakness, oof, he come along and show me how to do it. God, I don't know how to teach thousands of other pastors how to pastor. Nobody ever taught me. But he does. So in my weakness, he makes it happen. Now tell me what it is that you are inferior to, that you're insecure to, that you have weakness in, that you are frail in. Tell me what it is that you can't understand that in your weakness is a great opportunity for God's strength to come in and help you if you'll just believe it. But you don't understand my husband. No, wait a minute. You don't understand your God. You don't understand my wife. You don't understand my God. But you don't understand my boss. You don't understand your God. You don't understand. But I can't. You can't? That's great. Now you're in the right spot. When you can't, he can. Only thing that's keeping him from doing it is you believe in him to do it. Now, there's a fine line. And I don't want to get you confused here, but there's a fine line between letting God do it and you doing nothing. When you do nothing, He does nothing. You have to get in and do something in your weakness so that He can go to work on your weakness. Paul had to at least be there in order for God to get in there. So you're going to have to be there for God to get in there. You can't sit back and say, I'm just weak, go ahead and do it yourself. I don't want to do nothing. Doesn't work that way. And there's this fine line between hard work and you putting in your part and God putting in His part. And guys, that's what this is all about. For every single one of us, we live in a world of insecurities. We've got to overcome personal insecurities. And the way to do that is by trusting God. And know that you're a perfect candidate for the power of God when you don't know how to get it done, but you start to believe God to get it done. Is anybody listening? God is so good. So tonight, overcoming personal insecurities. How? You're going to have to get into God. Realize, number one, that you are insecure. We all have those frailties, failures. We're all insecure. We all want to control our world so everything is secure. But it doesn't work that way. You're frail. You're insecure. You're weak. So am I. But we know the one that takes our weakness and has chosen the weakness to show Himself strong. And that's when the world starts to change around you. Is when God gets in, takes our frailties and our weaknesses and realizes this is one I can move through to make something great. Are you okay with that tonight? If God spoke to you tonight, will you give the Lord a great big praise?
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.